Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All righty, are we live? Yes, we are. Welcome back to the Color Up Club podcast, where today we're going to be talking about the exciting thing of the home run, the big win, the Hail Mary. The biggest winners at the craps table. That's right. We're going to be talking about all the bonus bets, and it's going to start right now.
Well, Jim, this one's a big one because in craps you don't really think about the huge wins, but there is some opportunity for some big wins in craps. You don't have to have a monster roll. You do have to have a precise roll, but not a monster roll to make big money. So that's what we're looking at today.
Well, awesome. I can't wait to talk about it because I know I'm sick of all these casinos putting up these $10,000 winners and $20,000 winner pictures with their big checks. I never see them at the craps table doing that or the roulette table doing that, but they do it at the slots, and there might be a reason for that. I don't know, but maybe we'll talk about that. So how's life been? It's been a while since we've been live. What's been going on in your life?
Well, a lot, and that's probably, I don't know if we've missed 1 week or 2 weeks, or I don't, if you could tell, probably you could tell, I'm in a basement in North Central Ohio, so this is home for me, or home base. I'm in my mother-in-law's basement, so we had some technical stuff. I don't have my normal audio stuff, and anyway, I'm like, it's been too long, I gotta get a podcast going, so we made it work.
Okay. Yes.
Here. But yeah, so much has happened. I think since the last time I've been on a cruise, so played craps on a cruise. I've been to Vegas, saw the implosion. I was there for a particular reason we can get into at G2E, and I had some business meetings for Color Up, some exciting stuff.
Wow.
And man, just a ton of stuff. So I don't know where to begin, or you can ask questions.
No, where'd you go on the cruise?
This cruise went out of Galveston.
Okay.
And the first 2 days, we went full steam ahead because we had to get below that, you know, the hurricane that ended up, you know, unfortunately hurting the people in North Carolina pretty good.
Oh, so that was Helene.
Yeah, so that was out there in the middle, and we just kind of scooted past it. I mean, we had beautiful weather. It was just, yeah, the cruise was great. The weather was great. We had no issues, but it was during that time period.
Okay.
But we went to Roatan, Honduras, I believe.
And oh, cool.
Is it Cozumel, Mexico?
Yeah.
And I forget the other stop, but, you know, the normal stuff.
Yeah, I actually went on a cruise that went to Roatan and Cozumel, and I forget what the other place was, but we left out of Tampa on that one. But that's where I got to hold a sloth, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, on one of the excursions.
Excursions, that's right.
Yeah, we didn't do any excursions. We did some walking.
Okay.
But that's about it.
Was that the one where you won your two free cruises
on?
Yeah,
two more free cruises. And so I won the certificate, the instant win certificate. So I got, during the cruise, I got 1,500 points.
Woo!
We looked at the list and like 1,200 were like, we're not really interested. Jeremy, you got to push forward to get to 1,500 points. So I did accomplish that. And then there was some Alaskan cruises on there. So I think I'm gonna. We're gonna. I got a few days left, but you have 30 days, so I'm gonna book one of the Alaskan cruises to go on.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And then because I hit Prime, which is like their, you know, their tier status, mm-hmm. you get an annual certificate. So I should get that in April 1st, which is their calendar year, and that will be any 7-day cruise except for blackouts. And from what I heard, there's very few blackout cruise ships or dates. So I'm probably going to pick something more exotic on that one, like, I don't know, the British Isles or the Italian coast, or
gonna go Greece.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, something like that. Something fun with this one. So take advantage of that yearly certificate. So
you went on the cruise and you got your two cruises and then you slipped in a Vegas trip in there?
Yeah, I just got back from Vegas. So that was, I went for initially for G2E. I was participating as. They gave my name badge said talent. I was talent for Sports Grid. I was actually there as part of Sports Grid. So I did some interviews with them. They had a studio kind of built there on the G2E floor, which is a gaming convention in Vegas. So it's essentially like all the slot companies, IGT and Konami, and you know, all the slot people, and then you know, all the table game people, and people trying to sell new games, and chip manufacturers, and just everything related to gaming was this convention. And so that's what I want. And they wanted me to meet some people and, you know, you shake hands and slap backs.
Glad
hands. They're like, hey, this is our new guy, our new show.
The up-and-comer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said it's doing well. And they're like, we went to dinner at Fountain Blue in one of the restaurants. It was amazing, but... they're like, oh, this is the new kid we got to fight over, because they had a couple advertisers and sponsors like that want to. So right now I only have advertising run on Sports Grid, but they're like, hey, we want a piece of Color Up, like your YouTube channel, your website, because I'm doing really well on Sports Grid. They said I'm doing like 100,000 views per episode now. So it's going well over there.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's like a real TV number, huh?
Yeah. Congratulations on that.
Yeah. And so they're like, but you own SEO. Like, if you search anything to do with craps, I don't know if you've ever done that before, but Color Up shows up pretty well.
It pops up. Yeah.
They say it's a pretty valuable brand. And so I just got to decide who I want to sell my soul to.
Okay. No,
it's
that's
time.
Awesome.
It's time. It's, you know, I've been 7 years and I've been telling, I get offers all the time and I just don't know who to trust. So it's been about seven. Well, not the first 2 years I didn't get any offers, but 5 years of me just saying, oh, no. I don't want, you know, I don't want any of your, I don't want anything to do with anything. And mostly it was because I just didn't know who or how to decipher through or who to trust. But, you know, meeting some people in person and that sort of thing, I kind of got a feel for, you know, which way I may or may not lean.
So can we be expecting some news from Color Up shortly?
I don't know if it'll be news. It really shouldn't interrupt too much. Other than, I got to say, I should have some money to buy a laptop that is not a PC, because... we spent however long me trying to get this to work, and my Mac equipment, it just works, right? And that's kind of what they're known for. And I'm just so frustrated with this PC laptop that I use for streaming that I'm sick of it. So I mean, other than advertising running, you know, or me mentioning it in a video, hey, today's episode is brought to by whoever, nothing should change, except for maybe, you know, maybe I can buy some equipment and maybe some finance.
So this will be soon, in the next,
yeah. I mean, part of it is happened. It should. Okay. I got one sponsor on board. We'll start like the middle of the month. So, but again, that's on the Sports Grid side. On the television, I got an advertiser there, and so things are happening.
Excellent. Congratulations. Well deserved. And we got a couple of people. We have at least two people watching, Gio and Dwayne. So, hey, guys.
Yeah,
and we'll get to, if we get any questions today, we'll get to them in the monster roll. And you did mention Sports Grid, and we are what? Powered by Sports Grid. So, congratulations on that.
Well, there's another big thing is, speaking of advertising.
Yes.
You've been listening to the podcast because we are now an official podcast.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
You can go to Apple Podcast, and Color Up Podcast is a thing.
There's other avenues. It hasn't migrated to Spotify yet. It's from I couldn't find it on there. My daughter couldn't. She's a Spotify person, but like I use Overcast and it's there. And I checked a couple other places. Simplecast, I think, or something. It's out there, and it's still migrating to other platforms. So, but it should be everywhere soon. But it's certainly Apple's the big one. So if you want to go leave a 5-star and write a review, that always helps for podcasts, is what I'm told. you don't have to leave 5-star. You could say, "Hey, this is trash," but I have fun listening to Jim and Jeremy or whatever you want. But so we're now an official podcast. It should be coming out weekly on Sundays. Besides our live streaming here on Sundays,
so there'll always be like at least a few weeks behind, a couple weeks behind at least, right?
Yeah, unless I take more time off, like the last 2 weeks.
Or more cruises. Yeah.
And then the podcast will catch up. But once it catches up, we'll have to figure something out.
You were also at a historic event in Las Vegas where you witnessed the what?
The implosion of the Tropicana Hotel and Casino.
Excellent.
And for me, that has some history because it was the... I didn't know that. Well, I knew it was the first casino I stayed at. It was for my brother-in-law's, my wife's brother, his 21st birthday. So I was probably 23 or 24, a little bit older than him, 23, I think. So we stayed at the Tropicana. So it was my first ever stay in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And then he heard that we went and saw the implosion. And he said, "Hey, I don't know if you remember, but we actually took one of those free craps classes." You know how they, my first ever craps class. I know I've told this, my story before was at the Mandalay Bay where I played for the first time.
Right.
Didn't know what I was doing, but yeah, apparently I took a class with my brother-in-law there at the Tropicana. So yeah, I must have heard and learned about craps for the first time, my first day. But now, however many years later, they decided, you know, it's time to go. It.
Yep.
You know, the fireworks show and a drone show, and then it came down into a little rubble pile. And I supposedly they're going to build an Las Vegas A's baseball stadium, but that's not quite final.
No,
they certainly would like but they certainly would like you to believe that, and that's what they're hoping to accomplish.
Well, it'd be cool to have it on that side of town because it won't be too far from the Allegiant Stadium. It'll be on the other side of the interstate, though, so maybe a little easier to get to.
Well, I mean, unless they're, you know, the games are all on at the same time, right? Then,
there's a little overlap with football and baseball at the beginning of the football season. So, yeah, maybe that would be crazy. Like if playoffs for the A's or whatever they're going to call them once they move to Vegas. And so then that'd be pretty cool.
The hockey stadium is down there on the south end of the strip, too. So I'm not sure how much that overlaps. But
yeah, that's the T-Mobile?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, because that one's behind kind of, what's the non-smoking one over there? Park MGM.
Park MGM.
It's on that street.
What about you? Anything?
No, nothing really crazy. No, I'm just kind of, we're in a groove with school and teaching, heading toward homecoming week and... Not this week, but next week, I think. And just living my boring life. I'm working on, actually, it kind of relates to this topic. Tonight's topic is I've been doing what I call my funny money or my long shot bet money. I don't know if I've told you this before mentioned on the podcast, but I pick up aluminum cans and listen to podcasts. And that's where I get a little discount on my health insurance, which comes out to about $500 a year, which I use for bankroll. And then I also pick up aluminum cans, and then I use that for my ATS money, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, I think it's pretty fun. So yeah, I'm just living my normal life, doing my normal thing, just waiting for Mr. Color Up to come back from his cruise so I can ask him all about his cool life. So yeah.
Yeah, it was funny when I first started mentioning that we have an official podcast. Now it was because of the advertisements, but we've got multiple ads running on.
Oh yeah,
and it was funny because neither of us drink alcohol, but like the very first commercial I think both of us heard was
Tito's vodka. So, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, got a kick out of that. But
so Tito vodka, we had Verizon Business. Solutions. I'm trying to remember. I was just, as soon as I'd hear one, I'd email. Oh, Mike Rowe with JES.
Oh, right.
And I was, that's, you know, when you say Mike Rowe to any of the ladies in their 40s or 50s, it's like, woo. So it's pretty crazy. But yeah, we're off and running. So appreciate everybody who's listened besides me and you.
Yeah, normally normally we don't gab, you know, this long, but
yeah,
you know, listen back to the pod. No. I think it's good. I think when I listen back to the podcast, it's some of my favorite parts. It is good when we get to the topic of the show, which we will momentarily, unless I think of anything. I got to tell you. So I'm in a basement in Northern Ohio, which is the Browns, embarrassing, but the Indians did win, so they're going to face the Yankees. So that was pretty exciting. I got to see the end of the game here, and I spent a lot of time going to Indians games as a teenager. But the lifestyle here is just so funny. A quick story of, I was at my mom's house. So mother-in-law, I'm here on the internet. This is like civilized.
Yes.
I go to my mom's house. There's no TV. There's no internet. My phone barely works. And this is kind of an example of the lifestyle. So we're sitting on the couch. They have a big window. And my mom's like, look at her husband's Mike. Look at the bark on that tree, Mike. And he looks at it. He goes, yeah, what do you see? And she goes, does it look like there's some, like, bug damage, or looks like there's something happened to the bark? And he's like, yeah, maybe. The leaves, though, look healthy on the tree. This is a big, massive tree. Well, there's tons of trees in the front yard, but this is one particular one, I guess she's noticing. Well, the leaves look healthy, and she's like, yeah. I would just hate to, you know, lose another tree, you know, over the however many years they've lost some trees to apparently bugs or whatever. And yeah, you know what? Maybe we should go look at that tree tomorrow. You know, you can walk right outside. Yeah. Well, maybe we should
wash,
go look at that tree tomorrow.
Spray the tree.
Take a look at it. And she's like, yeah, you know what? That's a good idea. Tomorrow, let's go ahead and take a look at that
but
tree.
But not today. It's just like, today is a day of rest.
But tomorrow, I mean, it's just like the pace of things. It's like
slow.
Yeah, we'll just, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's go tomorrow and take a look at that tree outside the front door 20 feet away. It's like,
I think it's great that you can get back to hang out with mom and your mother-in-law and everybody. That's just awesome. And speaking from, as a guy who's lost, you know, doesn't have his parents now, you know, you want to enjoy every moment you have with them. So whenever you can get out to Boring, Ohio, if it takes the Indians getting to the World Series or whatever it is, or Browns getting to the Super Bowl, which, Jeremy, after today's another loss,
it's unlikely. Yeah,
I don't think so, but you never know.
I think they're statistically, like, they can't, you know, can't make the playoffs or something already or something.
Crazy. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's, I think, pretty bad. So. It's just,
okay.
But no, we always make it out here to Ohio to visit the mothers. That's the only family we both have left. So, well, we have some siblings, but. Yeah, we should talk about hitting the jackpot in craps.
Yes.
So what is that? What do we mean by that?
Well, you think about all the other big winners in the casino, and like I said in the intro, sometimes they got those big checks and everything, but you never hear about it they're never around the craps table. Mm-hmm. But there are some bets and at some casinos where you can make that you can hit a home run or hit that jackpot. And we're talking about the big side bets, the bonus bets, whatever you want to call them, at the craps table. So that's going to be tonight's topic. And maybe we should start off by identifying a couple, three of them. So which are the ones that pop out to your head as you bounce around the country?
Bonus craps, which most people know as the all tall small. Officially licensed, it's called the bonus craps, but all tall small, and then some people have renamed it just for marketing, and because they have to play a licensing fee for the all tall small. So I've also seen boom, bust, and I forget the middle one. I don't know, but
yeah, uptown, downtown, all around.
Yeah. Other companies have kind of renamed it, but essentially it's like rolling the low numbers 2 through 6, the high numbers 8 through 12, or rolling all the numbers except for the 7 is essentially that game. And so
that's one of them.
That's probably the most popular nowadays.
Biggest one. Okay.
I would say 10 years ago, it would have been the fire bet.
All right.
is the most popular.
So describe that one a little bit for the newer people, or maybe the people who haven't been on the table and seen it.
Firebit is hitting unique points. So essentially, you roll the come out, the point's a six. If you can roll the six and hit the six, great. They mark the six. That's Firebet number one. And then you would, let's say you come out. Okay, the point is now nine. If you can, roll whatever, and then you hit the nine, now you've hit two to the fire. And there's different pay tables. Some start paying once you hit three unique points. Three. And some start at four unique points. Mm-hmm. And I could say, I think the one that started at four, I don't see very often because it started at four and you can only hit six unique ones, right? You can hit the four, five, six, eight, nine, and 10. That's all 6 points.
Right.
So that had a huge payoff of usually like 2,000 to one. And the reason that's interesting is because that was the only bet in craps that you would then get issued a W-2G for. Because in crap, in the casino world, your bet has to be above 300. It has to pay off 300 to one in order to get a G2E. It has to be over $1,200, and then that's why at casino or slot machines, it's $1,200 and you get a W2G. But
okay.
At the table, it has to meet $1,200 and have a payout of 300 to one. Well, in craps, nothing pays that big except for this 6 point fire bet used to pay like 2,000 to one. So in that case, if you hit the 6 points, mm-hmm. they broke out the paperwork and everyone got a W2G for it.
Really?
So
they stop the game and get everybody's licenses out? Wow.
Yep. So nowadays they've switched, and most of them, what I've seen when they are still around, is they start with a lower payoff on just 3 points to the fire. And then at six, it's still under that 300 to one or something like that. And that's why the all-tall small is great, because we'll get into that, but the payoff's like, it used to be 175. Now it's a lot of places 150, but it was under that threshold. So you could win the all-tall small, get paid a jackpot,
mm-hmm.
and it's still not meet the requirement of 300 to one. So you don't have to pay W2G. So technically you're supposed to pay taxes, not to turn this into a tax episode.
No,
but any winnings, you're supposed to self-report as good citizens, but they are not aware of your winnings unless you,
you let them know.
Unless you let them know, or the casino lets them know through W2G. And so that just doesn't happen in craps anymore. So in craps, it's really rare to have a jackpot and thus get a W2G anymore. So those are the two big ones.
So Fire two bet. Big ones. And then what's the other one?
The other one I've seen a lot is the repeater bet.
Okay.
Have you ever seen this one?
I played it one time, and I played it on a table one time. It was in Lake Tahoe. It's the only place I've seen it live at a table. And basically that one is, well, here, let's let Mr. Color Up explain. What is a repeater bet? What is that?
The repeater bet is simply repeating a number. So it's kind of like the fire bet where you're hitting points, but if you make a bet on the two, if you roll the two twice,
mm-hmm.
you get paid a certain odds. Or if you bet on the three, and then it's a sister number, the three and the 11, three and or the 11, if you repeat it three times, then it pays because you've repeated the three, three times.
Okay.
Repeat the four, four times, five, five times and such.
Like a hops bet where it has to be the unique combination, like a 4-3 or 5-2, nothing like that, right?
Let's say you bet on the four, you roll a 3-1, that's great. Then you can roll the 9, the 12, the 6, and then you roll the 2-2. Okay, now you've hit it twice.
Right.
And go so forth, and then eventually you want to hit it four times.
And it doesn't matter what the combination is on this.
No. You just, whatever you bet, you could pick whatever you want, whatever number you think is going to repeat a lot. So, you bet on the 6 or the 8, it's got to repeat 6 times. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the payoff's good. I did see in the comments quickly that the fire bet, the top one is still 1,000 to 1.
Okay.
So they've lowered it, or maybe that's what it used to be, is 1,000 to 1. But that case, it does trigger, because it's over 300 to 1, it triggers the W2G. So
okay.
And but then, that's a jackpot. Hey, you're happy.
It's a jackpot. So one of the questions in the chat was, are they all considered bonus bets, or how would you describe these bets? What do you call them?
I always call them side bets because it's not part of the main game. And that, you know, so slots and craps is so different because on craps, you could play a very, very low house edge game, you know, 1% or less, very similar to like baccarat or blackjack. And because of that, you're not typically, you don't consider a jackpot winning game. So you don't go in like, hey, I got my $300. Maybe I can walk out tonight with 10,000. It's just, it's not a thing, right? You go into craps, you're like, I got 300. It'd be awesome if I could double up, right, to 600.
Right.
It's an awesome roll, great night, and I get to 750, something like that, right? You're not, it's not, whereas slots, you're like, I'm going to lose my money, or who knows, I can win $5,000 on my $2 spin. So it's the differences are because of that. So you don't really, craps and, you know, blackjack, you get paid one to one, and then, or, you know, and then you hit blackjack, it's 3-2 in a lot of places now, 6-5. So you're barely, you know, you got to get on a winning streak.
Yeah, right.
So I forget where I'm going with this, but we don't really consider it. So whenever we add these other games that have these, they're great for the casino because they have extremely high house edges, which means they collect more money before paying out, is they add it to the side. So I wouldn't consider it part of the main game. So I always call them side bets.
Side bets. So you wouldn't call it a bonus bet or anything?
I don't because
bonuses,
all tall small is is trademarked. It's the bonus craps is what it's called. So if you go with all tall small, officially it's called bonus craps.
Mm-hmm. But that is these type of bets that we're talking about, repeater, fire bet, and the ATS or bonus craps, whatever you want to call it. These are our big money, big chance for a big payday at the craps table by far. Yeah. Other than in increasing your bets and putting yourself at great risk, this is the highest, what's the word? I don't want to say probability, but your best chance of getting big money. And and I say best chance, and it's not usually a good one, like you said, because of the high house edge, right?
Right, so the normal game, you think of, well, geez, the horn numbers are the highest, right, where you can get paid 30 to 1.
Right.
The probability is 1 in 36, so you don't get paid 36, so they short you and they only pay you 30. But that's a great payoff, you know, but 30 to 1, I throw in a dollar, $5. But, you know, we'll go with the most popular, the all tall small used to be 175. Now, most commonly, it's 150. So to win $150 for a $1 bet,
not bad.
You're getting up there. A lot of people throw $5. So you're winning $750. Hey, you know, it feels more of a jackpot. But because you have potential bigger payouts, they collect a lot more. You know, it's a bigger percentage. We're talking in the 18 to 20% range. Versus, you know, in craps, you know, the pass line's 1%, or, you know, betting on the numbers or 2% or 4% for the 5 and 9, or, you know, the hard ways are, you know, 11%, which is getting up to, you know, anything in the middle of the table we call sucker bets because they're, you know, they range high. 9, 11%. Yes. The very worst bet is the any 7 bet at 16%. Well, now you're talking about games that are even worse than the any
way
7
higher.
Bet.
Yeah.
Yes, I think in the, depending on the payout in the fire bet, I think they're in the 20 some range, you know.
So high
risk, high reward.
High risk, high reward, high house edge, and the casinos don't seem to have a problem when they do hit paying them out, right?
Because the math is built in. That high house edge means 20, you know, whatever money goes through the game, they're collecting like 20% of it.
20%. So yeah.
They're scraping off a lot of money. So they're happy to be paying out
a few hits every now and then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, of those three, do you have a favorite of the three? Like when you go to the table, did you play any this past week when you were in Vegas?
No, I didn't play any in Vegas, actually. I was just busy with back-to-back meetings.
Too much,
and the conference
too busy with the meetings.
No,
okay.
I mean, obviously, people ask me, like, hey, are you going to hit the craps table? I just never did. And part of it was because I was on the strip, and I just don't play the strip because I'm not about $50 tables in the evening, right? Because that was when I was available. So everywhere you go in the evening and the center of the strip is $50. I mean, I guess I could have got a cab and went downtown and played $15. But you definitely
couldn't go to the Tropicana anymore.
No. I guess I could have snuck in there and been part of the excitement. But yes, I didn't play any craps. And then rarely on cruise ships, I think there are, I've been told, but usually they don't have these side bets. Part of it is people don't realize is they have to pay a licensing fee for these side bets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whoever invented or the company that
copyrighted
owns these
it,
side
yeah.
bets, yeah, they're paying out, I don't know what the percentage is, but they have to pay them a certain amount monthly and or yearly or percentage of the winnings or, you know, whatever deal they have. But to have, so a lot of people are like, hey, how come the ATS isn't on my local table? Well, it's probably because the casinos decided, hey, they don't want to spend the money for that side bet. They're happy with the regular game collecting the money. Why bring in another game that, you know, could potentially earn them more money, but does certainly cost them money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so
I don't know.
See, some casinos will rotate. They'll switch through. Here at my local, the local GSR, when I moved here, it was the repeater bet. Then they went to, I think currently they're at the All Tall Small, and I think they've got something else going. I don't know. They always have something different. There are others. We mentioned three. I can't think of any offhand, but there are other side bets for the game of craps.
But I've seen some crazy stuff. I think it was in Reno when I was playing with you. There was some, like, the field bet had like different chunks of the field that you could bet, but that's not really a side bet. Kind of a
they just
know,
split up the
hybrid
field.
Bet or something.
Yeah, it's
or,
like a hybrid. You'll see, sometimes like the, you know, where the big six and eight on some tables are, you'll see like an over seven or under seven. Like you bet on whether the dice will roll on the high side or the low side of.
Right.
In Colorado, I played, it's called Ride the Line. And it was either, it was, you make a bet and then as you hit more, either initial come out. So the seven or 11 would count as riding the line. You roll a seven. So now you hit two. And then any points you rolled would be an additional. So we came out on the five, we hit the five. Now you're at three. You roll a come out 11. Now you've hit four, and each one you get paid higher and higher by riding the line. So there's always these, depending on your local area, these kind of unique games that have bigger payouts than the standard game and are fun.
Yeah, I've never heard of the Ride the Line. And is that's something that's on the felt, or you throw it up top, or?
Yeah, it's on the felt. You put your bet down before the initial come out roll, and then you ride the line, hoping for pass line wins, because the point or come out winners count.
Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then the seven out, erases it, starts the game over,
and you restart again. Mm-hmm. Hey, I was going to ask you this. You mentioned the business meetings and stuff, and all the people with the gaming industry. In one of the casino player magazines recently, they had this thing that was tied to the craps table and all the other craps table, to where if you roll a yo on the come out, then you would share in this big bonus prize, and there was like three levels of spinning. And I tried it last time. Actually, it was during the Color Up, Dice Con. I did try it at one of the casinos. I think it was the Golden Nugget or something, and I never did roll 11 on the come out, but supposedly you can get to some really big, giant bonus things, and all the table games are kind of tied together. Have you seen any of those things other than Vegas? Have you seen that in Reno or anywhere?
No, I haven't, but I mean, that would, like a slot machine, a lot of them are linked together, so you're talking about progressive.
Progressive, that's the word.
Yeah, so not only is it, can you win big money on your local table, but now it's this table is connected to, this table in another city, and, there's 100 tables connected together. Usually you see in slots.
Right.
And so they all pool the money, and now the payouts could get even bigger. So yeah, I haven't seen that much, but okay. I have heard about it, you know, so it's essentially the same thing. Side bet that is now Progressive linked together with other casinos. So,
okay.
What about now, you? What do you like to play? What?
Oh, I love the ATS.
Yeah.
Oh,
everyone does. Everyone,
oh my God.
Since it's been instituted, I mean, for the most part, most tables have gone to that, and just every player loves it.
So Dice, not to talk about DiceCon, but DiceCon this year, we went around, we had the reserve table the first day or whatever, and we went around the table, and guess who rolled the ATS as part of the first of the 15 or 16 or however many there were around? The professor, the yeah. random roller himself.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, when you start off your week in Vegas with being 555 on it.
So 750 plus.
Yes.
150. So.
Well, it was like 1100. Is that what it is? Or something when you get it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so. It's 150, 150. And then maybe it's 1050 or something altogether. All I know is I loved it. I loved it. And it's instant bankroll for the rest of DiceCon, and you make it go. But what a thrill, man. And it's just like Fight Club. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to look at you, you know, and all that stuff, all the superstitions. But, yeah, I did get comfort. I saw in one of the comments, 85 Mike said that it was at the Golden Nugget that they had it over there. But, yeah, there is nothing at the craps table like when you hear everybody explode, and some of these big cats will throw quarters across the top, and I don't even know what the math is on that or what that comes out to. All I know is, I guess it'd be five times whatever mine
five
is.
Five times seven, yeah.
Yeah, so $5,000.
It's over $5,000, yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, wow, that but would be so cool.
Yeah, it's such a, because it progresses, right? So, you know, you roll a couple of numbers, no big deal, but then it's like, I've got the 10 and the 2 left. And then you roll the 10 and you're like, okay, the tall side, I'm getting paid, you know, 30 to 1. Cool. But if I can hit that 2 and there's like one number left, right? It always comes down to one number if you're about
yes.
to hit it. It's like, and you know, I think we've talked about hedging and other things, but that's the question. Okay, I've got one number to roll to win it all and get paid to 150 plus the low side. So you get the low side and
right.
the all now. So you get two payoffs. You're like, just that one number. You know, is there, well, you can't really hedge the 2, I guess, but I mean, you could hedge the 7.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess
but
you
some
could.
Of the other numbers, like yeah. a box number, if it's left on the 4, you know, a lot of people will lay the
yeah.
number, not to get sidetracked. But yeah, I mean, just like the tension, the excitement, 2, 2, 2, 2. And
oh,
then when
it
finally like rolls over 2, and like everyone
Boom.
Is, yeah.
Boom.
So Holy Roller says he refers the Peter repeater than the ATS. I've heard that. And some people feel like they can repeat numbers or whatever, but I heard that a lot at the, well, because the GSR had the repeater bet at the time, so everyone's like, yeah, I really love the repeater. Yeah. But for me, there's nothing like the excitement of hitting that last number. Of the
yeah, I guess the repeater is, when I played it, and I've only played it when I was at the, whatever the Caesars property is over there, which doesn't go by Caesars, like Harvey's or whatever the name of it is. But anyway, it's kind of like a mini ATS for each individual number
yeah.
that you're on. And are those like dollars usually, or are they make you do nickels or when the repeaters are?
What I saw, it's usually a dollar. You know, some of these games like the All Tell Small, I've seen some tables now bump it up to like $5.
$5,
people will
yeah.
play. They won't play any of the other game. They'll just start with a dollar, you know, how cheap, and just hope all night. Mm-hmm. So now a lot of tables will be like, well, you need to play the main game, or you need like a pass line bet, or you need some sort of bet, and then you could play the ATS. And so people would be like, okay, one minimum bet and then a dollar, dollar, dollar. So some tables even went to like, no. We're going to make you do $5 because we're tired of no one gambling, just playing the side bet. So, mm-hmm. But I never, you know, I never really noticed, but I've always saw the repeater. You could bet a dollar. So a lot of people would cover, they would bet on all the numbers to repeat at a dollar a piece.
Yeah, it was at 12. Yeah, 11 yeah. bucks, I guess, not
yeah.
12.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, fire bets. What's your thoughts on the fire bet? Do you like that one?
Never got into it just because I've never been, as a 3-point Molly guy, you might appreciate it more because it's all about getting a point, hitting a point, you know. And me, because I don't play the pass line that much, I never really care about the points. Mm-hmm. So the game is all about repeating points. So you got to, you know, make the pass. You don't have to make the pass line, but that's essentially what it is. You follow the puck. You got to hit the puck. The puck goes to a different number. You got to hit the puck again. And so it's almost like, you know, a big part of that pass line game. And so for me, not a pass line player, I don't care what the puck is. And so I've never been attracted to the fire bet game because of that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems harder.
Yeah, my biggest thing with the fire bet that I don't like about it, and I was exposed to it up in Delaware, is where they had it, is what I don't like about it is it has to be each individual. You know, it has to be individual points, like you were saying earlier when we first started talking.
You can't hit the point of six four times.
Yeah.
That counts as one. You hit one.
It's like, mm-hmm. Dude, you know, that's pretty hard to do. And you know, for somebody to hit 4 points anyway, no matter mm-hmm. what the numbers are, is crazy. But, you know, three out of the four and you hit the eight twice or whatever.
It still doesn't pay, right.
Or the four, if you hit the four twice, you know, and you're the big underdog on that four.
Yeah.
That just is crazy. But that's why I don't like the fire bet as much. But, boy, there's people who love it up in Delaware and other places I've been. They just – every shooter, they just drop that $5 chip down. Yeah. And they're
well, I mean, it pays more because it's harder to hit. So, yeah. I mean, you know, it's built into the math. And so, when it does – I guess if I hit it before – I've seen it at five. I've never seen – on a live table, I've never seen it hit six, but I've seen, you know, it hit five before.
Hey, Demon Dog just put on there, sharpshooter allows multiple points from any number and starts paying at the third hit. Have you seen sharpshooters on real tables or just the digital tables?
I've seen it on like the Bubble Craps tables. Okay. I've never seen it on a real table, but I guess it's similar a little bit to the fire bet, but... Yeah, I mean, he's explaining what we're saying is they don't have to be unique. You can just,
right.
Hit multiple points. So,
yeah,
similar but a little different.
Okay, and he had dice grinders, and I agree with him that the fire bet is by far the hardest bonus bet to hit. I think it's a lot easier to repeat repeaters. You're just talking a few rolls.
Yeah.
And even with the ATS, I've been at the table and like 15 rolls, people have hit the ATS.
Very fast.
Very fast.
It's just like, right, but, boom, 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 knock them all off. Right?
But if you're on that fire bet, boy, you're sweating the whole time and just, oh my gosh. And it's just terrible to me. So, yeah, but then again, that's why they pay the big bucks, right? Because it's the long shot. Now, how often is the... And I know one of the answers because I watched one of your videos from about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe longer. How much of the bonus bets or whatever you want to call it, you said not bonus bets, what did you say? Side bets.
Side bets.
How often are the side bets a part of your play?
Never.
Never?
Well.
That's not what you said on one of your
videos.
No,
generally never.
Yes.
So I will do it if I'm the shooter. And I usually use it as a tip. So... And if I'm playing, you know, with people I don't know, and I usually won't even do it then. So that's
really?
that's why I say never. Right. So, but if I'm like with a group of people I know and we're having fun and, you know, playing together, DiceCon is a great example. We're together with a group of people. If I'm going to shoot, I'll put the dealers up 1-1-1 and I'll put myself up. So two-way ATS. So
yeah, when you put yourself up, Are you up there 1-1-1 also?
Yeah, because I know someone mentioned in the comments like it's kind of a useless bet, but for me, like 1-1, it's not useless if it pays 150, so I don't know that it's useless, but I get his point. If you just bet the, you know, if you bet
yeah,
a $10 bet, it just makes sense, or you can, it's a lot easier. This is a long shot, but yeah, throw a dollar up there, big deal.
So you want to ever do 5-5-5?
I mean, I could, but I haven't. I just, because... To me, it's a waste of money. It's the same reason I don't bet the horn.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a waste of money. Well, it's funny coming from you, who's like such a low house edge guy.
Oh, yeah. I try to get my house edge. About the biggest butt wild bet I usually make is, you know, one of the Roto book talks about the three 3% rule, I try to cut it in half to 1.51. Yeah. So that's what I usually play. But yeah, what
you won't even bet the 5 and 9 because it's a 4%.
No,
you know what I mean. You don't like to buy the 4 and 10.
Nope. Nope.
You know, and you're
I just play my way.
Center bets, no way.
But no, but I'll do that ATS. I'll do that ATS because let me tell you, there is nothing more frustrating. You will feel so bad if you roll it yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can share in the joy of everything with everybody else. But when you're sitting there and you've rolled it, you did the hard stuff supposedly, and then you're not partaking of it. So yeah, that, and the other reason I'll do it once I get up. Once I like to say I'll gamble with their money.
Yeah.
Once I get it in my rack.
I should probably incorporate that more. As long as I'm in profits, it's no big deal. Not that I should bet it, but it could. But
you could justify. Yeah,
that's why I say that is the only time is when I'm rolling, and then I'll put the dealers up on it too. Is because like you said, I don't want to be the guy who like rolls and everyone's like, yes, we hit the ATS, and I'm like, yeah, I rolled it and didn't get paid. I've never done that. So.
I've had it happen to me twice. Last time I was at Cherokee, I was getting my butt handed to me, and I was down to like my last $80. And then, I had some come bets, and I didn't even have enough to bump up my odds.
Okay.
So I had some come bets up there. Next thing you know, I rolled the ATS, and everybody's losing their mind, and I'm just sitting there at the table just like.
So, you do it because you've been emotionally scarred.
Scarred. Been burned. Yeah, been burned. But, yeah, I will always – I'm like you in the video that you said that if you're doing it, I'm going to bet on myself. And you're right, Dice Grinders, from then on, I definitely have always done it if it's available. Even if it's this stupid fire bet, I will do it. So I know there's no
chance. When you're rolling.
Yeah, when I'm rolling.
So do you ever play it when the other players are?
Heck yeah, when I get up a little bit, sure.
So if you have profit. So that's so funny. But when you're a profit, you won't bet the hard ways.
No. Every once in a while, I'll do something.
I've seen you loosen see me up.
A couple Diet Cokes, I get a little crazy.
Yeah, I'll give you a hard way, or give me a 5. I'll place the 5, you know, for a quarter. So
yeah,
I have
like
seen you stretch out beyond the 1.5
I'm wound tight like a tick.
But that is so funny that you're like 1.5% is my max, except for the fire or the I'll do 20%, you know, no every time now.
Yeah.
That's kind of
But
funny.
If I get up because hey, it makes it happen. So it makes it happen. Makes the whole rest of the trip a whole lot better.
So I was going to ask, like, do you think the side bets are important to the game of craps, or do you think it's kind of ruined it and taken away from, you know?
I think it helps. I think it's helped the game of craps.
It's fun, right?
It's fun. For some people, if you don't know about the house edge and the probability, and that's the other thing. We talked about house edge, but we didn't really, because, you know, you're in this internet cave, but, you know, and I could probably pull up some stuff here, but the probability of hitting these things has got to be, you know, one. I think ATS is 1 out of 190 or something on average or something like that.
Well, I mean, you can get a rough idea when you look at payouts.
Okay.
So, for instance, we mentioned that all tall small, real commonly it's 150. When it first initially came out, it paid 175. Mm-hmm. So you know the odds are beyond that. So yeah, I think it is like 190. Mm-hmm. So you know whatever the payoff is, like the small or the tall, it's 30. It used to be 34. You know it's probably 40 or something like that. The chance of it happening is like 1 in 40, and that's why they always pay you less. So you can kind of get a rough idea, and that's why some bets have a bigger cut than others. But yeah, I think the all tall small was like true odds would pay like 190. They introduced the game at 175, and now they're really.
Well, they got to pay the guy who figured it out and sold it to
them. Yeah, but they were making money at 175. But I mean, back then, and they're still on some tables. You can.
What's the big one in Vegas? There's a big one in Vegas on the Strip that advertises at 175.
Oh, really? I think there's one.
It's one of the nicer ones. Oh, shoot. If anybody knows in the comments.
The house edge, it's like 7.8. It's like 8%. Like, that is an amazing side bet house edge.
Which one?
If they pay the 175.
Oh, if they pay the 175. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So if you could find that table, I would recommend that is a better bet than Hardways or anything in the middle. I mean, at 8%,
it's incredible.
That's a great bet. And you probably, if I had that in my local area, I probably should be playing that every time. Cause it really is. It's a better bet than the Hardways, which, you know, most players will play. So, but it's getting more rare, but yeah, as a general rule, hey, if it pays 30, if it pays 150, the fire bet, if it pays 1,000, that means your chances of hitting it are like, you know, 1,200 to 1 or 1,500 to 1 or whatever it is. You know, it's more than what they're paying you because they're going to take their cut. So that's kind of a general rule to figure out what are the probabilities of it happening. It's more than what they're paying you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, what about you? Do you think the bonus bets or the side bets are good for the game? Or do you like them or no?
I'm not as thrilled with seeing like the progressive bet you've described that's connecting other tables throughout the world and stuff. I don't know why. I don't have a good reason for that. I just feel like we're getting away from the game and adding more lights and sounds to make it more sexy, right? I would rather, but you know, these other side bets where it feels very integrated in the game where it's, hey, I'm rolling the dice, I'm rolling numbers, I'm rolling 2 through 12, and the all tall small just happens to be if I roll all the numbers, you know, it feels like it's really well integrated into the game of just rolling certain numbers or certain sequences. But it does add a layer of excitement. So in that case, I do like them. But if they came out to, you know, you'd put a bet on a light that lights up and then a jack wheel thing spins or whatever, I'd be like, it's not part of the game.
You feel like it's a slot machine.
Yeah, yeah. We don't need that. There's slot machines over there.
Brian jumped in and with Holy Roller says the Palms. Yeah. So yeah. 175. So maybe, you know, maybe we need to squeeze in some time at the Palms at next.
Yeah, they're a
Dice
blocker, two shady blocks off the strip. But yeah.
But that's all right. So you don't like the wheels and stuff, but if it's on the felt, it's part of the game, you're for it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, why wouldn't you be? It's just because it's optional, right? It's not like some bets. What are the Texas Hold'em game? It's like you're almost like forced to do the side bet. It's like, yeah, here's your main bet, and then here's your side bet, which you have to do. I mean, obviously in craps, it's all optional. So if you don't want to play, you don't play it. It's no big deal. So it's just a little added fun overall.
Okay.
I mean, why not? As long as it keeps the...
I love it as far as the camaraderie of the table. I mean, it gives me a reason to care about all the other numbers that I don't have
that you're not betting. You're right. Because you're not betting the horn numbers at any point.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's you know, some you mentioned me or whatever. Sometimes when I get up, I'll throw some money in the field, that kind of thing. But it has to be like way up on that double up kind of territory. But that's just the way I play. I'm kind of stupid like that. But anyway, yeah. So you got any other thoughts on bonus bets or anything? How long have we been going?
I
want to keep an eye on the clock there.
I mean, we started it with a big intro.
Yeah, we did. So I just want to make sure you have enough time in for the podcast stuff before we get to the monster roll.
Before the monster roll, he did mention the hot bets. Side bets. I really wouldn't, just because they pay the standard 30 to 1 or 15 to 1, just like the 12. We don't call them, we call them the horn numbers, but those are hot bets. They're one roll.
Of
a particular combination, right? So if you're betting on the 12, you got to have the 6-6 show up. So in that sense, it's a hard way hop. The 11 and 3 are easy hops. We don't call them hops. We just call them horn numbers. But if they were up in the hop field, it's because there's a, you know, a 1-2 or the 2-1. There's two different ways to roll it. There's no hard way to roll it, so it's either the 2-1 or the 1-2. And so that's an easy hop, and it pays 15 to 1. That's thus the 15 to 1. That's the difference in the payouts.
Okay.
And then the same with any of the hot bets, you know, the 5, if it's the 4-1, the 3-2, or the inverse of those, it's going to pay 15 to 1. The 6, 5-1, 4-2. But hard the way. Hard way, yeah, the 3-3, it's hard. So that's going to pay the 30 to 1. So, yeah, I think those are just part of the game. I wouldn't call them side bets necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we covered the topic. They're fun. They're fun games.
I love them. Why I love not? The ATS. And it's so play funny.
Yeah. Mr. Professor, 1.5% is the max, except for over here. I would pay
20%. Let's go.
Which I don't know that we mentioned. That is worse than slot machines, Jim. Because most slot machines, they could program, they vary, but 10 to 20, but a lot of them are in the 15% house edge range, and you're like 15.
My personal experience, it's 100% house edge, because the biggest payout I've ever gotten was like 20 cent or something.
Well, to be fair, I mean, you say, well, my house edge is 1.5% in craps. How often do you go in and you walk away with a 1.5% loss? You don't.
You don't.
You take your $500 and maybe you walk away at 100 if it's a bad night, or you play all 500 and you lose it all. But it's not like you walk away at 1.5%. So it's kind of that's a long-term math for the casinos and a whole different topic. But
okay.
Yeah, it's like you're happy because you doubled up, or you won a couple hundred, or, you know, sadly you lost a couple hundred or lost it all. But yeah, you're not losing 1%. Same with the slot machine. You're not walking away at a 10% loss, even though that's the house edge. You don't go put in 100 and go, you know what, at 90, I think I gave it a fair shot. You know, you're like, well, hopefully it'll hit. You play it all the way down to zero.
No, you bring it all down, man.
In there, you hit, though. You hit for 10, and then you hit for $6, and then you hit for 88 cents, and then you hit for $1.20, and then you hit for 20. But you keep playing it because you're like, well, I didn't even get my money, my $100 back.
It's like that Carly Simon song from the 70s. I'll go down with his ship or whatever.
Exactly.
Every dollar I've ever put into the slot machine, I've never got any money coming back the other way.
But theoretically, if you played slots over the year.
10, 20? What would you say?
15. A lot 15? Of them have 15. They publish them. Well, I don't think casinos do, but you can find magazines.
I've got one over here in the casino player.
It'll let you know, and that's why some people say, hey, looser slots or tighter slots, it's because they can program them.
So that's what they're saying when they're talking about looser slots or tighter slots is the stuff.
Amount of house edge they programmed into it. So certain games, it'll be, 20%, and some games will be very loose at 10%. Like, we only program ours to, like, 10%,
12%. I thought it was, how much money they gave away and the big checks and all that stuff. I never realized it was the payout.
It's a percentage of the payout, because if they're only holding 10%, that means they're giving out, the 90 or whatever that they're collecting.
I just don't ever see 90% of the money going out of the slot machines. I see money going in.
Well, because, right, so if you think about it, you go, everyone's bringing $300, $500 and dumping it in.
Okay.
So you went to the casino for 3 hours. Everyone dumped in $500. You didn't see anyone win. You go home. Hour five, 2 hours after you left, someone hits for $15,000. It happens at your casino all the time. They collect everyone's 10,
500,
everyone's money back. You know, unfortunately, you don't get it back.
No.
It goes to someone. It's being paid out somewhere. But unless you are the lucky one who's hit by lightning. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, Jeremy, I love you, and I know the other guys do, but if you ever have color-up slots, I'll never watch it.
I have color-up slots.
Well, do you?
I did. Yeah.
Right, okay, I've never watched it, so I'm fair enough. True to my word.
My brother really essentially operates. He's a slot player who thinks he's just a lucky person, and he wins. I've seen his profit and loss statements from
the casinos.
The casino, Caesars, MGM.
Yeah, I'm right.
He's at top tier MGM now, but he just wins all the time. It's ridiculous. And he's like, oh, this is how you do it. I'm like, yeah, you put in money and you push the button. He goes, yeah, but Yeah.
Here's
essentially,
a system.
No, he essentially goes, all right, right. That's true. There is nothing to it, but he just wins all the time. I mean, obviously he does lose some, but for the most part, I'm like, this guy is so lucky. For me, put in $100 all the way to zero, like you. That's kind of been my experience. But he's like, no. For one, that's your main problem. You gotta go $500 and give it a chance to pay you back. And I'm like, oh my gosh,
give you a chance.
But I don't know, whatever he's doing, it's kind of working for
him. It's working for him.
For some people are a little bit lucky. So I mean, that should be true. The more money and time you spent putting into it, the closer to that payback amount you should get.
So it's the same thing in our game where you're just trying to hang out at the table till somebody hits the long run.
Till you hit the ATS or you hit the big roll.
1 in 10 shooters.
You know, like we say, if you're under budgeted at the craps table, if you go in with $100 on even like a $15 table, you got no chance. We know that as craps players, but and it's even worse a percentage on the slot machine. But we go in thinking, you know, I'll put in $100. Well, in slots, at a 10% game, that's giving you no chance to win. So it's very similar. You know, if you bring $300 to a $25 table, it's like, listen, buddy, unless you win the very first bet, you're not going to be here long, and you're going to take $300 to $0. It's like an automatic donation to the casino. And so in that aspect, there is a truth to what he's saying is, you know, you need $500 to win at a slot because it's such a high volatility game. So there is some truth to that. But
okay. So
it's just a different mindset.
But let's put a bow around the bonus bets. Overall, they're good for the game. We like them. You don't play them very often. Yeah. I do, especially when it's on me.
And it's so crazy.
It's crazy on me, but I think other people do as well. But anyway, any final thoughts on the big bonus bets there?
No, I'd be interested to see. I didn't see anything at G2E of any new bonus games or side bets, but it would be interesting to see how someone kind of comes up with a new twist or
the
new
next thing. Maybe we can get our club members, your fans together. We come up with the next thing, and we'll all rake in the profits all over the world.
We need to invent the side bet from our group and
an idea.
And someone I've seen interviews with the Wizard of Odds, and he says it's very difficult. Even if you come up with the idea, you know, there's all kinds of marketing. You have to pay so much for testing and all kinds of red tape. But once you get it in, you know, it would be so cool to be a part of that.
To come up with one.
Yeah, just the idea.
Awesome.
That was a side bet. Yeah, we did in a way in Fantasy Craps, I guess. We have the stoppage rolls or whatever, where you kind of bet and don't know how many rolls are going. I guess that's kind of like a side bet game.
Yeah. If we could figure that out, a way to bring it to a real table and put some money with it.
Yeah, it's got to be able to pay back. It's got to have a probability, and then it's got to pay back less. We got to get that
figured out.
Casino wants their 20%.
Get our math guys on that.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that was a fun episode, and we do have obviously some viewers, so we can head on over to the Monster Roll. But I do want to, as we wrap it up, I do want to say, check us out on your local podcast platforms. If we're not on your favorite podcasting software, we probably will be soon. It's kind of, you know, the robots
working its way out
through.
We're on Apple Podcasts though.
Yeah, and that's the kind of the big one. So if you want to help our podcast, if you go there and rate it and leave a review, that does wonders is what I'm told. So yeah. Okay. Even if you don't use it, you can find us on Apple Podcasts and leave a review and rate us 1 through 5 stars, whatever you want. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you it's helpful. And if you enjoy us,
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.